I'm Mike Green, Public Awareness Officer for the American Mathematical Society, and I'm talking with Amy W. Lang, who's an Associate Professor in the Department of Aerospace Engineering and Mechanics at the University of Alabama. And we're talking about the research that she and her team did trying to analyze how short fin Makos can go so fast. And so, Amy, you found out that their rough skin or features of that rough skin help them. How do those features work, and how did you figure out or demonstrate that it worked?
Well, I remembered once long ago when I was actually an undergraduate seeing a picture of shark skin and the scales on their skin and just being fascinated by that. And as I became a professor and was looking for a new research direction, I remembered that image and started to look and see if anybody had looked at how these scales were movable and how that could help to control the flow. So when you touch a shark from the nose to the tail, it feels very smooth. But if you reverse that direction, it feels rougher. And particularly on the Mako, on their flank, behind their gills, on the edges of their fins, on their tail, you'll feel the scales very rough, more like really rough sandpaper in one direction as opposed to the other. And what we have discovered is that this preferred flow direction over the surface actually helps to control the flow, control what's known as flow separation, so that like dimples on a golf ball, you can hit a golf ball about 30% farther with dimples than without. Well, we think that the same thing is happening for the shark, but it's a slightly different mechanism in that the scales are helping to maintain the flow to be attached to stay in the forward direction from the nose to the tail, as opposed to the reversing direction, which leads to flow separation, which causes pressure drag and would slow the animal down.
You created a special device to analyze it in the lab, right?
Well, we use digital particle image velocimetry, which basically means that we take images of a flow using CCD cameras. We see the flow with particles, and so we get these images that look like a starry night. And we have then a computer program that will analyze those images. It will take a random pattern of particles, say in a 32 by 32 pixel window, find that exact pattern of particles in the adjacent image, which we know the time difference between. And then if we can calculate the displacement of that little pattern of particles from the one image to the other in pixels, and we have a conversion of pixels per centimeter in our images, we then can calculate a velocity. So using that technique, which is a lot of very math oriented, because you have to do process those images, they have to correlate and find correlation peaks of those patterns of particles. And so that method is digital particle image velocimetry. And so using that method, we can measure the flow in our water tunnel. And then what we've done is taken actual skin samples of Makos, mounted them and glued them to a flat plate, set them up in a flow in which the flow would go over a smooth surface and have a certain degree of flow separation. And then by putting the Mako samples in there, we can actually see the flow separation be diminished or completely controlled.
So you mentioned a couple areas of math used. Is there any other math that was used in this research?
Definitely. One of the first things that the biologists did was when they got a whole Mako and placed it and put it in their lab, we wanted to look and see to what angle the scales varied and how much they could bristle over their whole body. In other words, they wanted to create a whole map over the whole skin of the body as to how much the scales were capable of bristling. And so to do that, they would look on a microscope, but they could only look straight down on the skin. And so what they would do is they would take a very, very fine needle, like an acupuncture needle, and lift up a single scale. And they would look and see how much the length of that scale changed in their downward perspective. So as they lifted a scale up, the length of the scale would change because of the angle of the scale. And so by trigonometry, by those two length changes, just using a simple right triangle, they could then back out the angle to which the scale was bristling.
And so you mentioned before where the scales, you mentioned, are along the flanks. And in those, you might say, crucial places, they bend the most, right?
Yes. So especially on the flank, that's where we found the most bristling capability was right behind the gills, all along the flank of the animal. That's where the animal is undulating its body, and you want to maintain flow attachment, which reduces drag.
And so what are you working on now, or what's next?
So what we're doing now is we're actually trying to build our own man-made models of these shark scales. So the scales are so tiny. They're about 0.2 millimeters or 200 microns in size, and they're actually translucent teeth. So they're very, very difficult to see. We can't even see them being moved in our experiments in the water tunnel because it's very hard to zoom in that close, and they're translucent. So what we're doing now is we're building 3D printing models of these scales. So we get really nice measurements of, we know exactly what the scales look like from nice electron microscope images that the biologists have taken. And now the students then can fully render this full 3D geometry in a computer program and then have it 3D printed our models at various sizes. And then we mount these little models with full rotation capability to the angles we've observed on the shark scales. And we're now starting to mount those in our water tunnel. And now we can see those actually actuating because we can build models that are, say, maybe about 2 centimeters in size as opposed to 0.2 millimeters in size.
Now, you mentioned students. I know you're involved in an REU. Are those students in your REU?
So I have everywhere from PhD students. I've had a postdoc student, as well as master's students, and also undergraduates that have worked in my lab on this project.
That's probably pretty exciting to be working with anything involving sharks.
Yeah, the students really have a lot of fun with it. They really enjoy the topic.
So, Amy, is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, I love the fact that we can find inspiration from nature and hopefully gain inspiration that can solve a problem such as flow separation, which is so ubiquitous in so many engineering applications. Our goal is that ultimately we could figure out how the mechanism works, replicate that into a man-made surface, and ultimately apply it to an aircraft or other applications where you would want to control the flow separation.
And with from someone who is not in engineering, how long does it take to, when you see how something works, to then actually transfer it to something man-made?
It depends greatly on getting the help of others, because it's not a single one-man job. But the discovery is fun. The process of finding that discovery and figuring it out, it didn't happen overnight. It took us a few years to really figure out exactly how the scales were working, and then a few years to collect some more data to actually prove that using real shark skin, we can get this flow control. And then now we're convincing others. We've got a collaboration with Boeing. We've gotten funding from the Army. And so our goal is the more we can tell people about our discovery, that ultimately that will lead to collaborations that can make this into a real man-made product.
I bet you were very excited when you made the discovery or confirmed it.
Oh, yes, we were. The biologists were also very excited. They, at first, when I told them that I thought shark scales were flexible, they didn't believe me.
And so then, does that merit I told you so, or are you laying low?
Not really. It's more that we're both happy and surprised.
All right. Well, Amy, thank you very much for talking with us. That's Amy Lang, who's an associate professor in aerospace engineering and mechanics at the University of Alabama. And she was talking about the research she's done into the skin or denticles of a short fin mako. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you, Mike.